This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo. Enjoy the show? Support The Payload on Patreon for exclusive content, access to game nights and giveaways, and more. Head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast to find out how you can get involved. Join our Discord community, find new friends, review VODs, and discuss esports and strategy on our Payload Podcast Discord at discord.me/payloadpodcast.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 72 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is June 22nd, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. First from Sims neighborhood, Simsville, it is Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
Honestly, you are not wrong. Hi. It is good to be doing stuff in actual reality in real life over Skype and not seeing all of my Sims. So I'm excited to get into the show. We have a kind of a light show, but that leaves plenty of room for John's horrible comedy for us to laugh at. So I'm excited to get into the show this week and I'm ready for it.
Boo.
All right. I'm ready. I'm excited.
Well, good to have you, Rosh. It was a fun episode last week, but I really missed Jimmy. Speaking of Jimmy, hey man, welcome back.
So good to be back. I've been so busy the past like 2 weeks that I feel like I've been gone for months from Overwatch. But yeah, it's so good to be back. If you guys haven't been following me on Twitter, kind of update what I was been doing there. I actually just recently got a new day job, which was really cool, but I ended up celebrating by going to E3 all last week. And that's why I wasn't here. And my new job, actually, if you watched the games on Monday, you would have noticed that I was actually out in Denver with John. My job took me out there. And so I got to hang out with John, Katie, and Choji.
Very good cuddle bug. Very territorial, we found out.
Yep. Oh, really?
Choji, Katie and I never have people over. So yeah. Jimmy came over. He barked for 15 minutes. No, it was the most embarrassing thing ever.
Oh, I want to meet Choji. I'm so jealous.
But then he warmed up to me, though.
He warmed up, and then he's so sweet. So it was a lot of fun, though. We got to do, by the way, holy crap, was the game night not a blast?
It was so much fun.
It was great. We played custom games for about an hour, 15 minutes, and then we switched over to Quiplash, and I dominated there as well. So
Oh my God.
It was just a night full of kicked tripod domination.
Okay, it was so rigged.
You gotta admit.
Kicked tripod is the one that hosts the Quiplash game? Kick Tripod is the one that wins all of the Quiplash games.
You're right. Quipped Tripod is probably a better name for me at this point.
Well, and then you turned everyone against the Hanzo and Genji answers.
Oh my God, that was so funny. We should have known, in hindsight, we should have known that all of the answers for Quiplash were going to turn into Overwatch-related answers. So we should have set up some rules beforehand, but now we know for next game night. Yeah. And I'm already looking forward to whenever we set this up.
I think you can actually set up custom band words if you want to do that for next time.
You can
we'll do that.
We just didn't really know what to expect. We had like 30 people show up, and it was just a lot of fun. We actually had so much fun. We were talking about maybe doing it twice a month instead of once a month. That's how fun it was.
Yeah.
So if you're not a patron, you can head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. As little as $1 a month, you can come and guarantee be a part of those game nights. Of course, everybody is welcome. We stream them on twitch.tv/blizzpro. We communicate those out through our Discord. By the way, our Discord just hit 150 members. So, nice. Hey.
That is awesome.
We've had,
last week we were at like 126 or something like that.
It's been growing a lot. So we've loved getting to know you guys and hang out with you there. Talk about Overwatch. Relevant Sam actually made a bot exclusive to our Discord that runs and lets you know 30 minutes before a new match is going to start from over.gg. So over.gg is pretty much like the only place I personally go. Usually there are some websites like Liquipedia that have every single game, but a lot of them aren't important ones. And I really like over.gg because it only grabs the big tournaments. And so in our Discord, you will now get notified 30 minutes ahead of time when there is there's a match coming up, which is really great. So big thanks to Relevant Sam for that. He's also a new patron. So double thank you to Relevant Sam.
Yeah.
And we've got
want to circle back to E3 really quick. Like, because there was actually some Overwatch stuff going on there. Ask Josh, he got taken out to cast a kind of little 3v3 tournament out there. And it was at this booth that had like the 5D chairs, you know, you have at like a movie theater that like move and shake. And so like Reinhardt did Earth Shattered and just like shake the chairs.
Really?
It was really that silly.
Would be sick.
I didn't actually sit in the chairs, but I just watched it because I thought it was hilarious. And also Hollywood Hammers put on an E3 party at the Grauman's Chinese Theater. I didn't go because I wasn't staying out late at all during the week. But apparently they have a lot of money to throw an E3 party. And it was a lot of fun from what I heard. And I thought that was interesting.
Interesting. I'll have to add that to my list of parties the next con I'm at, which I don't know what it'll be, but we'll have to see. Let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch really quick. We already recapped. We had an awesome time for a game night and Discord's popping. Rosh, what's going on in Simsville?
I was going to say, I think you mean Sims Watch for me. Actually, I'm not been playing Overwatch. Last week, I can't remember what day it was last week, but I actually did ranked with Tasty Pastry, who is in our Discord and one of the viewers, and he's part of the community, and it was really fun. I know last week I was talking about how I have like 9 accounts that I want to do placements on, and this season I really want to focus on building it as a community and playing with people instead of just grinding out like hardcore ranked and grandmaster. So I started that this last week and I had so much fun. It was so awesome playing with Tasty. If you didn't hear it last week on the show or haven't seen it in Discord, when I stream, I'm just randomly asking whoever wants to play, regardless of your rank, what character you play, anything like that, if you want to play, because since I'm on placements, I can play with anybody up to $29.99, I believe, during those placements. So I will be doing that going forward. And that's kind of my goal for the season, is to play with as many people as I can just to make it as fun and enjoyable. So be on the lookout for that. But I had a lot of fun this last week doing so.
Awesome. It was really fun to watch, too. I was hanging out in the stream for a good part of it.
Actually, now I remember, but everybody liked Tasty more than they liked me. Like, I'm sitting here hard carrying Tasty. I'm sitting here playing with Tasty, and we get into like 3 different matches, and the group, like, because you know how you queue with other duos and other trios and stuff like that. Every single time they'd be like, oh yeah, Tasty, we really need to get you in on the group. Tasty, we really need you to join our group. And I'm just sitting here like, hello? Like, is anyone going to pick up the person keeping you guys all alive and rezzing you?
Support life. Get used to it.
I guess because I'm a Mercy main, the hate has trickled down into like platinum and gold. ELOs, and so no one wants anything to do with the Mercy player, I guess. But other than that, it was a lot of fun and I really enjoyed myself.
Tasty, let me tell you right now, same thing happened when Rosh and I did our placements. last season. We haven't duoed since. So I hope you enjoyed that one time you played with Rosh, because it will never happen again. Unless it's headshot only Widowmakers on Nepal.
Or Paintball Anna, in which I will annihilate you.
Oh, did you though? Did you though? I was sitting in the back watching television, the Samwise.
So, Jimmy,
television.
How was your week in Overwatch?
Man, that was so fun. Hi, Jimmy. How was your week in Overwatch?
Hi. I played for about an hour last night when I got off my plane and got home.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we just do it up with a friend and just played the new Lunar Colony map and kind of just screwed around on that and didn't really. Wasn't tryharding or anything, but it's playing the arcade mode.
Cool.
That was pretty much it for me in Overwatch, unfortunately.
Yeah, you had a busy week last week, so yeah. It's understandable.
Yeah, for sure.
And the game night, obviously.
The game night. That was cool, like having you over here. Introduced you to some Denver beers, and
yep.
That's like really the thing. Every time somebody comes to Denver, Katie has to like show them 12 different types of beers. It's like,
not you.
What was that restaurant we went to? What was the name of that restaurant? We got to shout them out because that was really good. Biker Jim's.
Oh, so good.
In downtown Denver. Go there.
Yeah. It's a light show, guys. So I know some of you listening are like, talk about Overwatch. It's a light show. We're stalling, okay? We've got.
Well, if we want to stall more, we can talk about the 1UP arcade we went to.
We did go to
some classic games.
Yeah, some classic games in arcade. But we won't let people sit through that one there. Let's go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
Before we get started with the show, we do want to thank our MVPs, Grandmaster supporters, sorry. Shadow J.A., Carell, Liam O., Stuart J., Leong Z., Jacob S., and Adam W., thank you so much for your support of the show. We couldn't do it without you. Hope you enjoyed the game night. We hope you enjoy the little episode we're going to record right after the show here as well. And we have one of the perks for Patreon is we're doing a little special, only short, like 15, 20 minute episode for our patrons as well. Just more of like a Q&A episode. And so it should be a really good time. And if you want to get involved again, patreon.com/payloadpodcast. We've got some stuff to talk about this week. So first, the new patch is live, including Horizon Lunar Colony, Roadhog, McCree, and Reaper changes. And so it just, did it drop yesterday or today? Or 2 days ago?
Yesterday. 2 days ago. It is
2 days ago. Okay. I didn't get to play the last 2 days. So
I've seen everybody posting on Twitter like, rest in peace, Roadhog 6/20/2017, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah.
It's
kind of burned in my mind. Yeah.
It's bad. No, it's bad. It is bad.
I agree, yes, but I just don't think that there's enough time played on Roadhog to figure out his new niche. But we could probably get into that later on with what we're planning on talking about for the show. But I do think it's bad. I do think it is rest in peace, Roadhog, but not to the extent that everybody thought it was going to be.
I read a thread on Reddit that said using your hook to start an engagement with the old hog, now you should be using the hook to finish an engagement with the new hog, which seems like it makes sense. I just have really enjoyed getting hooked by a Roadhog at 400 health. And then, you know, that whole combo happens and I'm still at like 280 health. Like that has felt really good. Doesn't feel good for the hog.
It must be nice because me as a support, I still kind of get cucked by Roadhog. So, but that's another story. I think it also depends on what elo that you're at in the game too, as to whether Roadhog is completely out or completely shook off the map from the meta or anything like that. But again, we could probably get into that a little later, so I won't talk about it too much.
Or we can get into it. Anyways, well, let's talk about the new patch and how it feels, because, well, that's really all that matters. Played a little bit of McCree and his new ult is nice. It's definitely more viable than before, but not like oppressive. Like, I don't feel like that now nano boosted McCree. Holy crap. Nano boosted
McCree. How, you guys have seen that, right?
Like,
you guys
have seen the gifts on Reddit.
It's pretty crazy.
Oh my gosh.
But besides that, I mean, everything else felt like pretty good changes. There's definitely feels like there's a lot of Reapers being played right now because it was the most significant change and upwards. And especially at certain ELOs, they tend to be more tank heavy metas, which, you know, Reaper now especially should really do well in. So those were kind of my big takeaways. I played for about 4.5 hours today. So I got a good amount of time in, and that was right between plat and diamond. It's kind of where that ELO is sitting at. So what did you think, Rush?
I actually haven't played on the patch yet. I've just been reading everybody's thoughts and seeing all of the gifts from the new McCrees and everything. I'm excited to play because I think that this does shake up the meta a little, quite a bit, with adding McCree. So now maybe you won't see Soldier insta-locked every single map where you just need a Soldier. You could probably put McCree's probably on par. I don't know. I haven't played that much. I'm just excited to see what kind of changes because doing dive after dive after dive, I really don't know what just happened. But anyway, doing dive after dive after dive.
Michael Kritz said that my lighting in my room made him feel a certain way. So I gave him a wink. And apparently
I wasn't reading chat.
That was the most distracting thing in the world for Rush.
I wasn't reading chat, so I thought you were winking at Jimmy. And I was like, I'm not sure what's
going on
here.
You guys are right here. Chat is right here.
But yeah, I'm excited to play it and get into the new meta because it's been dive for a while now. And when the meta and character picks get changed up, it's always a lot of fun to get back into it and relearn the game. So one thing I also am really excited for is now that the new patch is live, you can add low gravity to custom matches and match modes. And I'm so excited to play game night with low gravity with you guys. And
it's going to be absurd.
It's going to be hilarious. Like, I don't know. Imagine like a ping pong match with low gravity or Symmetra only where, you know, everybody has mass amounts of, or just anything crazy like that with low grav. It's going to be so fun. So I think that's honestly what I'm most excited about, all of these changes. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to get in and play it.
I want our low grav Reinhardt only games again with fire strike cooldowns down to zero and projectile speed at like 20%. So
how would that?
It's fire strikes all over, but they're like super slow and matrixy.
Yeah, and what if you did that slow, but you did movement speed increase? I wonder how, if you'll even be able to change movement speed with the low grav, because I don't know how that would work. So I think some experimenting is called for, and we'll have a lot of fun figuring out. Or like Hanzo's, where your projectile speed is like as low as it can go, and that's the only thing you could do, and then there are just arrows everywhere in space or something like that.
There could be a lot really cool things. Yeah. We only had two custom games set up. We made up a third on the spot. But next time we're committed to have a few more. And then maybe only do like the last hour. I still think that we should do Quiplash trivia at the end because that was fun. But a little bit more custom games, I think, for sure. Anyways, back to the game. Well, Jimmy, you got a little bit of time on the new patch. Mm-hmm. Any initial thoughts? Anyone feel particularly out of place?
Not so far. Saw a lot less Roadhog and a bit more McCree from the little bit that I got to play. So take that as you will of that small sample size.
Right.
I'm still digging the map. I know people are kind of down on two capture point maps, but the theming is very well done, I'll say. That's definitely where Blizzard has nailed it out of the park.
As far as like the design of the map goes, it's cool. I think they did a really good job. It just, as far as it goes competitiveness wise and it being a double capture point, like that's a different story. No one's really a fan of that. But overall, in the aesthetics of the map, I think it's really cool. And I think it's set up the way that the hallways, it's kind of anti-Mercy, which hopefully people will come to like, because there's a lot of hallways and rooms that are separate that you can't really shift to, that line of sight breaks and all of that. So I think people will be fond of that because everybody hates Mercy now. But I think it's an interesting concept and I like the design of it. So it'll be fun to learn the strategies going forward of how to play that map. And there's tons of spots for McCree's to flank around and ult, especially on the second point because it's so open.
Yeah. Doesn't that hurt Zen a little bit too with the ability to kind of get out of line of sight quickly?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah.
Kind of better for her right clicks, though, since he can duck in and out, too. So.
Well, also, and I mean, the hallways and stuff are kind of short, so you can dip into a room or something, and then there's normally a second door on the other side, so you can quickly get back into LOS, just dip out of LOS and back in. So we'll see. It might be... I don't know. I think it'll be more pro dive because of how many rooms, just to all dive into a room and kill. There's no way an Ana's getting out of that. So it'll be really cool to see how it goes, especially when it's introduced to tournaments and stuff like that, to see how people play on that map. I'm really excited to see these professional teams and their strats for it.
Yeah, that was one thing. I played about 2 hours in arcade on the new map. And I've tried also to like, listen to what the pros are saying about the new map and listening to some of the other podcasts where they've had pros on and talked about it. And like from what I'm hearing, the general consensus is as a 2CP map, it's better than Volskaya and Hanamura, and feels on point with Temple of Anubis. So take that for what you will. It's only been out, you know, 2 days. It doesn't go into competitive play until next week. And then we'll start to see more serious compositions with, you know, more playing to win. The one thing I did notice is that Pharah is going to be pretty much worthless on most stages of that map because the ceilings are so low.
Yeah, you're right.
Even as a Zarya, I could almost always reach my beam on a Pharah.
Yeah, which I think even further pushes it to being anti-Mercy. So I think that people will respond really well to this map.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jamerson corrected me. I doubled back on it. It's in comp now. I played 4.5 hours of it and I just didn't get into it today. But there was a big weird thing where one of the devs posted and said, it'll be delayed for a week. And then he corrected it. And then for some reason, I thought it was the other way around, even though it's not even remotely true. So anyways, besides that, thanks, Jamerson. You should just come on the show sometime when you're not busting your butt on contenders.
Great job,
by the way. So yeah. Anyways, that's about it for the patch then. Let's talk about the developer update that we got today though. So Jeff Kaplan did post a developer update and we got some really nice and welcome features. Let's hit this. Believe it or not, this is the smaller ones in my opinion. First, we're getting a custom highlighting and exporting feature for PC and console. How it's going to work is you can either export your automatically highlighted moments that the game already does now. You could finally have an option to export and you can save up to 32 of those on the client at a single time. But you can also create custom highlights. So something really cool happens, but Mercy had a 5-man res the last fight. And so, you know, you're not going to get play of the game. You can clip it yourself. You can assign it to a hotkey and then export it from there. And well, consoles, it exports in the format that consoles support. You'll have some choice to different file formats as well. So, hey, that's pretty nice, right?
Yeah, awesome. I think it is.
I mean, this was one of the first things I feel like we talked about on the show back in Alpha. Like, we were... like, okay, this the play of the game system is awesome. It would be even better if you could like figure out a way to export it without having all this complicated software.
your voice is gradually lowering.
Oh and no, lowering, it's doing that thing again.
I thought you were like fighting at first. At first, I thought you were fighting a yawn, and I was like, "Am I reacting? Like, should I not laugh? Should I try to keep a serious face?" Like, I thought you were legitimately just fighting yourself from yawning, and you know, you like your voice gets deeper as you do that. Okay, so it's not just me. Oh man,
that was. So, I wonder what that'll be like on the local recording. Anyways, Jimmy, I'll give you a second to make sure that you're set. Is it set? We'll give you a second. Rosh, what do you think? You can now highlight all your reses.
No, well, as Jimmy, I kind of understand what Jimmy was saying. Cause yeah, we have been, I think you guys were even talking about it before I came on the show about how everybody really wants this to happen. How every time you log off your play of the game or your highlights get wiped, and people were really complaining about that. They wanted a way to save these. And I'm glad that they finally did this. It doesn't really apply. I've never really been into watching the highlights, but I guess that's because I have a stream that normally, if anything highlight worthy gets clipped or something like that, I can go back and look at it. But for people on consoles, I know that they really, really wanted this. So I think this is huge, and it's going to give people, a lot of people, exactly what they want. And I'm glad they finally implemented it.
Right. And there's a lot of moments too where I used to only like play Overwatch on stream, but I've been spending a lot more time not. And like, if I'm not streaming and I'm not recording in OBS, it's just really nice to, it'll be really nice to have that feature, grab some cool things, GIF them and throw them up on Twitter, you know, stuff like that. It'll be fun. So that's the first thing. Second thing, and this is one that I was really excited to play around with, but I didn't get to today. There's going to be a custom crosshair builder in the game. So we've been seeing some of the really cool crosshairs you can make, and some of the absolutely ridiculous crosshairs that you can make. And so, pretty cool.
Maybe I'll do that for stream. I'll just make a really, because I didn't even think about this when they came out with dev update for customizing your crosshairs. The first thing that popped into my head is, oh, there's going to be a lot of Moobot commands being added for what your crosshair specs are for the big streamers. Like, I know if like Defrin when he gets back, or Sinatra, or Moon Moon, or anyone, and they have a custom, everyone's going to want to know what they are. So that was my first thought, that a lot of streamers are going to be adding Moobot commands, like their sensitivity commands. But yeah, that's a good point. I kind of want to get on after the show and experiment with the crazy crosshairs. I can make the craziest one possible and then stream with it and see how many people I can tilt from having this absurd crosshair. So I'm actually really excited for that now.
Mercy crosshairs, lol.
Exactly. I don't need my crosshair. I don't shoot anything. No, I won't change the Ana crosshair, but on Mercy, like, forget that. What is that dot on the middle of my screen? I don't use it.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh, I love all that. It feels good to make fun of Mercy when Rosh plays so much Mercy.
Oh my goodness.
And so does a Baja Blast Slurpee. So sounds really good too.
Well, I think I play Ana more than I play Mercy now, to be completely honest. Good. So ha ha ha.
I mean, like, how many hours do you think you have on Mercy now? 400, 500?
I don't want to think about it because I don't want to pity myself right now. But I mean, probably.
But you're kind of like at that diminishing returns skill cap a little bit, right? Like I would imagine, anyways. You're not like, oh, I'm learning all these new things. Whereas I would imagine as an Ana, you would have a lot more invigorating experiences of like, oh, positioning myself here makes more sense, or saving my nade for this.
There are still things that even after 300, 400, 500 hours on Mercy, I'm like, oh, I could have done this better. Oh, I could have totally still done this. I don't think that there will, even with the skill capped character like Mercy, where the skill cap or the skill ceiling isn't as high as other characters. I think that there's still always stuff that I'll think back and like, oh, I can do that. I had no idea, or I could do this instead. But with Ana, I mean, the sky is the ceiling with Ana, because not only do you have all of the positioning and awareness that you would have with Mercy, you also have aiming and your sleep dart and your nade and projecting it or throwing the nade on certain corners where, you know, the splash damage will come off and hit X amount of people, et cetera, et cetera. So, It's definitely a lot higher with Ana. So the excitement factor is a lot more with Ana right now. And I probably enjoy playing Ana more than I play Mercy or Lucio right now.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun. There was one time on stream where I was just so fed up with playing Zarya for whatever reason. And I played Ana, and it was one of the most fun streams we had. I remember that. Because I got a lot of compliments from chat. They're like, you should stream Ana all the time. I tried to do it the next day, and I just sucked again. And I was like, well, that was a fun day.
Yeah.
So that's going on. Sorry, go ahead.
How's my mic?
I was going to say, we can hear Jimmy.
Sounds great. It sounds like you. For now.
I'm going to have to look into that issue because it's not the first time it's
happened.
Don't we
have the same mic?
We do.
That scares me because one of these days I'm going to suddenly be talking over and over and it's just going to be hilarious.
I hope that happens one day, but not really, but kind of. Just a little bit. We'll have to see. Anyways, last big thing here from the developer update, and this was something similar was also announced for Hearthstone as well, but starting, is it live now? Or
I don't think so.
It's either live now or the next patch. No more duplicate legendaries. Yes. So no more duplicate legendaries in Overwatch. So there was a lot of negative feedback this last Overwatch anniversary about the number of duplicates people were getting, and understandably so. I didn't expect them to do any of it, let alone make a change this big. But basically going forward, the chance of getting any legendary or any duplicate has been reduced. They didn't say by what number, but it's been reduced. And you are guaranteed to not get a duplicate legendary going forward. The asterisk being, if you have all the legendaries of a particular loot box or in Classic, you'll get legendaries still at random. And to compensate for the fact that you'll be getting less credits now because you won't be getting duplicate legendaries, they're boosting the amount of credits that you get for epics and rares and commons to compensate for that. So what can Reddit explain about now? Or complain about?
They can complain about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you know my highlight. Yeah.
So what I thought that Jeff meant from the developer update was that the credits that you get from loot boxes would be increased. I didn't remember hearing anything about the disenchanting being higher, or did I miss that? I just want to make sure I'm interpreting the video correctly.
Oh, dang. Now you're going to make me go back and look. I thought I heard that.
I think it is the coins that you get for the duplicates for anything less than legendary has been increased. Or maybe it was the other. Yeah, now I'm actually...
I thought it was just the credits. I don't know.
Can somebody fact check this for us, please, in Twitch chat? Here I go, getting all confident. This is what happens when I watch a YouTube video before noon. I misremember, maybe, or misinterpret. But, okay.
You're getting more credits, whatever. You're
getting more credits, and it should they said it should more than compensate for the lack of not getting duplicate legendaries. While we're fact-checking this really quick, let's talk about kind of this other really cool thing. Twitch and Blizzard announced an exclusive content deal through the end of 2018. What this includes is Twitch will have exclusive rights to stream Apex and Overwatch Premier Series through 2018. And by Overwatch Premier Series, I'm assuming that also means Overwatch League, Contenders, all that stuff. In celebration, we are introduced to something called a Golden Loot Box, which if you have Twitch Prime and set it up to your... you get a code and you can put it onto your battle.net, redeem it, and you get a Golden Loot Box, which is a guaranteed legendary. You get 5 free loot boxes in August and 5 more free loot boxes in October. They also tease some more in-game Blizzard items planned for Hearthstone and Heroes of the storm. Jimmy, I want to ask you this first, because you and I have watched a lot of Blizzard esports, not just Overwatch esports, but Hearthstone, World of Warcraft, Diablo, StarCraft, all that stuff, Heroes of the Storm. And in the past, I don't remember any exclusivity stuff going on except with Facebook. So, and that's been pretty recent. So I was pretty surprised when they announced this deal. Should I not be?
I'm a little bit surprised just because of how extensive it is and how long it is. I'm a slightly concerned that we don't have Heroes of the Dorm, which was that Facebook exclusive event that Blizzard did earlier in the year. Exclusives, I mean, this is just kind of pushing more towards just how sports in general kind of are. I mean, you have networks bidding over the Olympics and stuff like that. So I think this is just kind of the next step of esports as a whole. And I think we're going to be seeing this more and more going forward. It doesn't surprise me too much. Blizzard has done this in the past many times. I mean, there were times where MLG, before they were picked up by Activision Blizzard, where you could only watch tournaments on on MLG's stream, most recognizably like StarCraft events. And I remember people complaining pretty drastically because
it was not fun.
Because really, StarCraft 2 was kind of what started this whole broadcasting thing. And Twitch is very, very open about saying that that was what started it. So it's good for Blizzard. It's good for Blizzard fans because we're getting free stuff out of it. Those of us with Twitch Prime, subscribe to the BlizzPro channel on Twitch with your Twitch Prime subscription. But Dorms, the first 2 years were exclusive to ESPN.
And the most recent one. Yeah. Okay.
Facebook. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, one thing I wanted to ask though. So if you guys remember, what was it? Was it the Overwatch Atlantic Showdown or the Overwatch Open that was done on TBS? Do you remember?
Oh God, I don't
remember.
The E-League one.
Either way, I know Jamerson will come with the answer in a second. I have such a bad, I didn't put this in the notes because I wasn't planning on talking about it. One really cool thing that they did is you could watch it on TBS. You could watch it, Overwatch Open, perfect. You could watch it on Twitch, but they also had their own website set up. And if you remember, that website had some really cool stats and things like that. So I've never, like, for me personally, I'm worried Twitch might be a little bit stunted long term for being the exclusive place to watch Overwatch streams, unless they find a way to make they have the new overlay things.
Help. Yeah, and that might be why they introduced an overlay, because of this exclusive content deal with Blizzard. That might be why, because, yeah, you have other sites. Because I actually, now that you brought up the fact that the webpage had a bunch of stats, I remember that because I remember being able to take a look at all of those crazy unique stats that the webpage had. I think that that might actually be why that they just released their beta for the overlay, because the overlay gives a lot of information. I think the most I've seen it is on Hearthstone streams. I haven't really seen it elsewhere, but I know that they are trying to do it with Overwatch. So that might be why, because they're connected and, you know,
right now the Overwatch one just ties into Master Overwatch.
Yeah. But I think it's a step in the right direction. And I think that if they do continue with this exclusive deal and they kind of branch out with more than just Blizzard, and they continue to do this, I think that we will see more than just Master Overwatch tied into it, because I remember that being the appeal of the Open was having all of those stats there. And I remember talking about it on the show about how cool it was to see all of those stats and performance indicators and stuff like that. So I definitely foresee Twitch implementing that with this deal with Blizzard going forward.
Right. It definitely feels like kind of the first, like the toddler iteration.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the actual Twitch page layout would probably have to change significantly to support what the Overwatch Open was doing on the website. Like, it had next games, and you can't overlay that on top of the video. Mm-hmm. Right. Because then you're taking away from the video. You'd have to put it somewhere else. I don't think the Twitch pages are robust enough yet to do that.
Yeah, but hasn't Blizzard done their own custom pages kind of on like playoverwatch.com where they had broadcasts? They embedded the Twitch broadcast, but they had all sorts of stuff around.
That's what
it,
I was talking about for Overwatch Open. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
So like they could totally do the same thing or have it on MLG.tv, mm-hmm. and that's where mm-hmm. you can get like the more statistical look, because that website up is set up to do that, but the Twitch, at least currently and in the near future, isn't, unless they're working on something really surprising we don't know about. But hey, I mean, that's cool overall. And yeah. We should talk about golden loot boxes.
I was just about to say, with the golden loot boxes, does anybody know, say my friend has Twitch Prime and they don't play Overwatch, if they give me that code for the golden loot box, but I've already redeemed one for my account, can you only redeem one code per account, or can you?
We're supposed to be answering questions on the show, not asking them.
Well, I was just asking, before with Blizzard happened like this, where you only get one code? Like, has there been any exclusive rewards for anything? I guess not, because Twitch Prime is there. Okay, so someone knows. It has happened in the past. That's what I was trying to get at. Hopefully, maybe one of you. But
you only have like 9 accounts, so I think you're good.
I wanted to know, because I'm planning on redeeming my loot box and just letting it sit there. And every time I'm between queues, just leaving it on the screen and it being unopened.
You're the worst. That drives me nuts.
Exactly. So I was just wondering. Okay, so one per account. I got it.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
So let's talk about the idea of this golden loot box. How do you guys feel that there is a new tier of loot boxes that guarantees you a legendary? Like, I'm obviously really excited about it because, hey, free legendary. I didn't really have to do anything different, but mm-hmm. I could see how it might open up some feelings of, what will I ever have to buy these one day?
I was about to say, I like this, except if they'd start selling them at a premium in the future. Yeah.
Because then the pricing would be different. And I think H1Z1 does this where they have different tiers of boxes and crates. I think it's crates on H1Z1 that you can open, and it has better chances of getting premier items. So kind of worries me. I hope that they don't implement golden loot boxes to buy and increase the price, maybe make them like 0.5 times more expensive or whatnot. I hope that it's just kind of like a reward thing. Maybe when you hit like a skill cap or you promote you prestige in Overwatch, maybe they give you one if they want to implement more golden loot boxes or something like that. But I hope they don't start selling them as golden loot boxes or higher skill or higher percentage of getting premier loot items.
I would love a golden loot box weekend where...
I feel like that'd be too much. You just get all the skins. There goes all of their... Yeah, I mean,
that'd be a little weird.
Fine.
And you get... Stupid. And you get... No, and you get half experience instead of
full. Maybe you play like 10 games on this golden loot box weekend and you get one golden loot box at the end of the weekend. Maybe something like that.
Golden
but
loot box
I think
for ranking up? Gold, platinum?
Yeah,
no,
wait. Yeah.
Golden loot box for golden week.
Yeah.
For
It's a holiday in Asia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
There's lots of ways that they can give them away. I'm trying to think of ways that they might potentially try to integrate them more regularly into the game. But I still, to this day, kind of think they'll probably hold on, try to make them special. They've proven that, you know, they have the technology to do it, but they don't have the technology to not let a map be played in Overwatch competitive for a week. So, you know. Yeah. But you can get golden mm-hmm. loot boxes. So that's cool. Yep. And then 10 free loot boxes over the course of a few months. Pretty neat, right? Yeah. All right. We got some esports to talk about this week. Let's jump in. Jimmy, you're up.
Overwatch esports.
Perfect. Well, it's been pretty busy on the Overwatch esports front. We had The USA versus Canada match last week that was going on during the show. And something that we did find out is that there was some issues with the computers where teams were only getting anywhere from 6 mm-hmm. to 40 frames per second. And holy man, smokes. Did Reddit find a way to twist that into the most deviously stupid thing ever. They didn't show a post interview with Team Canada, and like they only showed the introduction of Team USA. And so it felt like a very Team USA bias type thing. And there might have been like some bias there, but then there was information like the sponsors that Team Canada had and all that stuff. But all that to say, Mangachu is on the overview or no, it wasn't the overview. That was Jake. He was on Around the Watch and he was just like, we had an awesome time and we never felt that way. So everyone should chill out. But besides that,
you're saying it was blown out of proportion.
Yes. Yes. Oh, by the way, this is what I was going to tell you. So remember I was like, hey, we're getting this free stuff now with no duplicate legendaries. No joke, I saw this comment and it was like one of the top five upvoted comments on the most popular thread. The was is clearly Blizzard doesn't understand opportunity cost, and by giving more things away or making them easier to obtain, can't pay developers in the long run to continue to support their game. I'm now looking for 3 monitors and 2 computers that I threw out the window. So
sure that guy's doing very well with his business degree running a top 100 company.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. It's like the I took economics once and learned about opportunity cost. Anyways, sorry. That was my tangent. Let's talk about some of these different teams. I think to no surprise, one of the first ones we should probably talk about is Team France. So Team France is actually, surprise, surprise, it is Rogue. So you've got AKM, Soon, Nico, Nox, Wins, and Unko on Team France. Rosh, Team France has to be really well set up for this tournament, wouldn't you think?
I think I'm a little biased because Unko's on there and he plays Mercy. So I think I'm a little biased when I say that they are kind of stacked. But yes, Team France, the Overwatch World Cup teams this year, not even just France, but overall, the South Korean team, the USA team, the Team France, Team Sweden, they all look so, so good compared to last year. I think we talked about it last week about how we felt that these teams, if we thought that they were better or if we thought that they were worse compared to last year. And having the team, I can never remember the name of the team coordinators, basically, that help try out the people mm-hmm. who play for the teams. Implementing that into the Overwatch World Cup committee. Was such a... Thank you, committee. Yes, the Overwatch committee per team is such a good implementation from Blizzard's part. I think it has helped these teams reach the potential that they could reach so well. I do think that having full team orgs as a team for the World Cup is kind of that they should maybe address that for next year, so you can't have like all of Rogue on a team for...
So what, Rogue should be punished for having an all France squad?
But did they get voted? Did all of the individual people on Rogue get voted in because they were more popular than all of the other people, or did they just get voted in because they're a team? Let's just vote them in. So it's like I don't.
But
they don't know.
Like we didn't vote them in. They had a committee, and if there was one thing that was more than apparent during last year's popularity contest of an Overwatch World Cup. It was the teams with synergies who had worked on synergizing with each other mm-hmm. really did well.
Korea.
South Korea, you know, at the time, there could have been some really great arguments that their talent was on par or even less.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But what the South Koreans even said is they're like, well, you know, we practiced and we worked really well together. You can have mm-hmm. Seagull and Gods on the same team and... You know, sure, you're going to have a really talented individual team, but having those synergies is there. is a really important part. But then, you know, the question comes, are teams...
Yeah, but are people maybe getting left out for being involved in, say, Team Sweden because the pressure to bring in Rogue as an entire team kind of pushes like, oh, you know, apparently the synergy for Rogue should be really good. So let's do this. Let's not even look at maybe a different support that might fit the team better because Rogue is Rogue and we're not even going to look at these other people. So I don't know. It's a bunch of behind the scenes stuff. So maybe none of that happened. Maybe there was no bias choices or anything like that. But we'll see going forward. What if Rogue just gets completely dismantled by these teams that were put together that haven't been practiced together? So I think it'll be really interesting to see. Back to Team France, though. I was not expecting France to put together such a good roster, to be completely honest. When I was thinking of the top contenders for the World Cup, France did not come to mind. So I'm really surprised, but I'm really happy because I don't think that this will be a Korea and USA blowout against all of the other teams. I think that it'll be really, really good all around compared to last year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at some of the other rosters, I think Finland has another shot of running deep in this tournament again, with Taimu obviously kind of leading the way there as far as known names, I feel like. And Germany as well, I think they have a shot. It's going to be interesting to see how all these teams do. And you know what I would love to see is see one of these kind of unknown regions as far as competitive esports goes and see one of them kind of make a run deep in the tournament or something like that. But we'll see. But I'm glad to see all these rosters and all these people involved. It's really cool. And I'm excited to see it again at BlizzCon because last year was fun.
I will actually watch it at BlizzCon this year. So I'm excited for that too.
I've been really interested in Spain and Russia. Because like Russia, you've got Shadowburn, Unfixed, Forsaken, and Rubicon. All
they
there,
came in second last year.
Yeah, like there's, I don't think that there's just a lot of really good teams this year, which brings me back to the point. I think that the ones that work the best together and are most comfortable with each other, I think are the teams that are going to end up winning. And, you know, but that also brings something. Let's say that Overwatch League, they end up putting more strict region constrictions, which they've kind of alluded to that they're not going to. In the Nate Nanzer interview in South Korea, they basically said that they're open to basically imported and exported players as being that. But let's say hypothetically it wasn't. Then you would just have an Overwatch World Cup with all just the best team from each country, and it'd be really dumb. So I think this is a problem for this year, but not going forward. And again, like when Overwatch League is out, are we really going to be worried about? Oh, they're only choosing players from their country so that when World Cup comes around, they can do really good there too. I don't think that'll really be that big of a thing, but there's a lot of really good teams. And so you have to keep up. Rosh, if you had to pick a top three right now off the top of your head.
Korea.
No,
I'm just kidding. Korea, Russia, USA.
Korea, Russia, USA. I like that. Yes. That's okay. I would say USA, Korea, France. I'm going to say USA.
That was a tough one for me. Dang. I really wanted to pick France. That's why I said Russia because I had to, I don't know. I picked Russia over France. I don't know.
The big thing is if we don't have dive comp, GG, well played for France.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Now I'm going to look silly having the same three as John. Oh man, that means I lose
because Jimmy Domus just chose John's answer.
Oh, wait. Did somebody say Jimmy Domus?
Yeah. I'm writing this down. I'm actually writing this down. 8:03 on 6:22. Jimmy agrees with John. Okay. We have it written down, guys.
Put down what he agreed with, though.
Oh, I'll remember. I'll remember that. Okay. I got it.
France, USA, fine. South Korea.
Yeah. But I do think that Russia is going to be amazing as well. They have, there's a lot of teams that even like from like, there are a few teams that are clearly, you know, a neck above, but then like, honestly, numbers, you know, like 1, 2, and 3, you could seriously all scramble up, and like 4 through 8, there are like honestly 5 very similar teams. And so like, it's like, well, is it going to be Sweden? Cause like Sweden is mostly misfits, but they have Siwoosh from Movie Star Writers and is it Manhattan? Or is Manhattan? No, Manhattan is on Movie Star Writers. It's Chips. Duh. So like there's some really, you know, really interesting teams there as well. So yeah. Anyways. All right, let's talk about Overwatch contenders really quick. You know what? I just want to talk about this with Rosh. Rosh, how did C9 do this week?
Uh-oh.
And how did Renegades do this week?
We're gonna You know what? Pharmacy is incredibly viable, and Mangachu is an amazing Pharah. Okay, all right. I think that like there is their moment to shine. I think if Renegades does not shine in this moment, they will not shine. But I think that C9 is running into the problem of, I think that they were trying to adapt to the triple tank meta starting all the way back in Apex with their roster changes. And I think that now that the meta is kind of switching away from triple tank and mostly dive-v-dive with the same six heroes versus the same 6 heroes, I think now that they had tried to adapt to triple tank, they're caught in this mid-cycle of trying to return back to what they were before. And I think that everything is kind of in the air right now. And that's why we're kind of seeing them underperform what our expectations should say they should be performing at. Out of the teams they went against, what team? They tied against Kungarna. And Kungarna is an amazing team. So, I mean, that I can see them tying there. But the other teams that they played against Renegades, which are hot, hot, hot right now. So they lost 3-1 against Renegades. And then what was the third team? It was Hammers Esports, and then they beat out Hammers Esports. So right now, I think that they're still here, and I think that they are still contenders. I think, like I said, they're just kind of...
Well, they're an Overwatch
contender, so... I think that they're just caught up trying to settle, because, like I said, I think that they were trying to adapt to triple tank, and then switching it to dive is quite a difference than triple tank, and I think that they're struggling a little to catch up, but I think once they do and things settle down, that we'll see the full power of C9 again. No bias at all. No biased opinions at all.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it at all. So that was one big thing I wanted to hit on. Another one of the big stories I wanted to take and just say for the record, LG Evil looks really good.
Oh my goodness. Just a bit.
They look really good. Just a bit.
They look so good.
Especially considering like Jake has been doing Overwatch World Cup stuff. Like there's just good for them. LG Evil, keep it up.
And one thing I will say about LG Evil, though, is I know that they're really good, but also look at the 3 teams that they played against. They played against Envision, You Guys Get Paid, which You Guys Get Paid is a moderately good team. I was surprised they kind of 3-1 stomped them. But they also played Toronto Esports. And I don't really think the 3 teams that they played against are rivals for the top seeds in the contenders after this week. So I kind of think that they had one of the easier weeks compared to other teams. But I still do think that they're really good. And I think that then when they go against the other top teams, they'll still perform really well. So that'll be something to kind of watch to see if they keep up their performance that they had this week when they're playing higher seeded teams.
Yeah, totally. Fine. But they're still looking really good. But we already knew
they are
that
still looking
group
good.
B and C, like we nailed down to who would take those. Yeah. LG Evil, yes, Immortals. And then, you know, we were kind of split on Yikes or FN or GFE. Toronto Esports and Vision, you guys get paid. We all kind of had it there. Group D is where we had the most disagreement on. Too bad that I was the most right. Darn.
Darn the it. Most right. You know that you aren't that right. You can't say you're completely accurate when you have to add the word most.
I just can't remember your rightness. If or how many
the
I got
most
wrong.
Right.
Uh-huh. I feel like I maybe
we'll
got
have to go back.
Out of this whole thing, I feel like I maybe got one or two wrong. So anyways. All right, we gotta move on. We do have one email this week that we wanted to get on. By the way, this the group stages, I believe, conclude this weekend. Saturday is Europe, Sunday is NA. You can find those. They start at different times. Twitch has a new feature.
I think the earliest is 1 o'clock or 1 o'clock.
Twitch has a new feature called Events. So if you go to the browse games, choose Overwatch, you'll see Overwatch contenders there, and you can actually set it up to alert you when that event is starting up. That would be the best way, because I always forget. I know it's 2 p.m. in NA, but I want to say it's like 11 a.m. in EU or something like that, or maybe even earlier when the games start. So what? Yeah. Anyways, that's it. We did get one email we wanted to hammer out before we get out of here for the show. This one's from Michelle Z, by the way. If you have questions, comments, ideas, anything you want us to know about the show, send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. Michelle Z says, hi guys, two questions. One, I've started playing a lot of Zarya recently, and I have a lot of trouble with Zarya versus Zarya. How do you approach a Zarya versus Zarya fight? Should I switch characters to deal with her? So, no, I don't think you should switch. Is it okay if I take this one, or you guys have a lot of Zarya?
Yeah, I was literally going to say, John, this is on you. It's we like, just had the podcast last week about Zarya. I do have something to say, but I can just add it.
Zarya v. Zarya is kind of like hog v. hog. The hog that hooks first generally loses. Same thing with the Zarya that bubbles first generally loses. So it's a lot of trying to manage that bubble, calling it out. So like, hey, their Zarya doesn't have a bubble, so your team can, you know, attack there. And then I would just say, don't, like, for me too, when I started playing Zarya, it was one of my most nerve-wracking matchups, just because I'm like, if I'm 1v1ing a Zarya and I lose, it means I'm the worst Zarya. And that played head games with me a little bit. So don't let those head games get in your head, because, well, they quiet rush. don't mock me. Don't mock me for my words. Anyways, before I was so rudely interrupted by a Rosh scoff, I would say just do that. Obviously, the other biggest thing is having good energy maintenance. So if you go into that fight with higher energy, that's a really good thing too. But no, you should not switch off of a Zarya if the other team has a Zarya, unless they're obviously better than you and a counter pick makes more sense than you trying to beat them. That happens from time to time. So, you know, take that for what it will, but I would say most cases, no, I would not. I would work on those matches, fight through it, and yeah.
Yeah, I think when it comes to a 1v1 of the two same classes, a lot of it is mental, because Blizzard doesn't really have a lot of like mechanics for a Zarya v Zarya. It's more about comp and composition versus composition. So they don't really set up characters to be able to beat their own characters on the side or on the other side. A lot of it, like John said, a lot of it is who bubbles first, who Winston shields first, which Mercy reses first. The one that kind of holds out to the end is normally the one that kind of wins that fight. But past that, a lot of it's mentality. When you're playing a character that you're playing, like a Zarya v Zarya, kind of take a step back if you can when you're doing these duels and be like, okay, if I'm playing Zarya, like I'm playing Zarya, what am I going to do? And then try and kind of outplay that Zarya, because other than that, there's really not a whole lot you can do other than, like John said, calling out when the Zarya has bubble so that your team can also help you and make it a better situation than a 1v1. So like John said, it's just a huge mental thing, plus the bubble, but just kind of take a step back and think, okay, what am I going to do as Zarya so that you can try and outplay what they're doing? If you can figure out what they're going to do before they do it, you're going to be a step ahead, and that other Zarya probably isn't dealing with that. So that'll just give you a leg up in the fight.
The last thing I forgot to say too is finishing. Keep in mind your right click is an awesome instant finisher. So, you know, it does 45 damage with no additional energy, and then up to 90 damage if you're fully charged. So, you know, once you see them drop, let's say you're 50% charged and you see them drop down to like 60, hit that right click, and, you know, that'll be really quick rather than, you know, having to spend a half a second trying to land those hit scan shots. So that was number one. Number two, I recently got annihilated by a Farmercy on King's Row in competitive. I don't want to start some rant about the duo there, but it got me thinking about how much of an advantage certain heroes have on certain maps. For example, I'm a support main, and when I'm defending on Nubani Point A, I always pick Mercy. The multiple vantage points make me super slippery and difficult to kill. I'd love to hear if you have any heroes that you like playing on certain maps, or if you've noticed that a hero shines on a certain map. Thanks, Michelle. Rosh, I would love for you to take this one, because I know as a Mercy main, you know really well which supports specifically do especially well on different maps.
I was going to say, as a support, I think that it's one of the most common things to switch up because of the map. I think you're absolutely right. There are multiple advantages to different kinds of maps that will change the kind of supports you want. And we're kind of in a meta right now where you can play all of the supports pretty well at all tiers of the game right now. So I think that supports are in a really good spot. And I think, like you said, with Temple of Anubis on Mercy on the first point, it's really good because you have a lot of vantage points that you could shift to, which bring you out of LOS to the characters. But say Ilios, for example, is a great Lucio map. Like, almost all of the maps on Ilios are amazing for Lucio. And I'd rather play Lucio, even if we have a Pharah on those maps, because you can change the whole direction of a team fight by getting sneaky boops and wall riding and speed boosting, etc. I also think that there are certain maps like that Winston, well, at high elo, Winston's played on every map, but at lower elos, I think that there are maps that are better for Winston's because you also have the knockbacks from Winston. So you're definitely right that certain heroes do have advantages on different maps, and those are just a couple of examples for the supports. Like Volskaya for point A, a lot of people really like running Symmetra because of all the tunnels of how to get into point A on Volskaya. Unless you're running a dive and you could just dive over everything, you have to go through those tunnels. Normally on either side, you don't want to just push straight through. So Symmetra is great for the first point of Volskaya because her turrets are there. You get ult super fast. You get a teleporter. And depending on what elo you're having, if you have a team with the Symmetra and they get a teleporter, that's almost like game right there, because a lot of people don't know how to deal with the Symmetra. So it definitely is map dependent on which support characters you like to play.
And like something too is, like, I think of tanks, like when tanks have chokes to get through or hold, Reinhardt tends to be picked a lot. Like, think of King's Row on defense is a great example of one where a lot of times people will try to get a Reinhardt right there to hold that choke point. Mm-hmm. Eichenwald. There's a lot of different ones for that I can think of for tank. I would say the ones for DPS are not as obvious. Like, there isn't like a, ooh, this is a really bad Genji map kind of thing. Like, there's less of those. There are some where, like Roadhog is really good on, well, in Ilios, because he can hook people into the hole kind of thing. But, you know, besides
that, I think for as of DPS, really the only character that gets advantages on certain maps is Pharah, honestly. I don't think that there are any map specific advantages for McCree or Soldier or Reaper that apply to any of those characters. I think really the only DPS that is affected by the map is the Pharah, because it depends if you have a ceiling, it depends if you have ledges you can shift over to get behind and flank, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really think it applies to any of the other DPSs, but I could be wrong. I'm I just don't think off the top of my head there is. Tracer
is better, but like, is Tracer ever a bad kind of thing? You know,
yeah.
It's like then you know you're talking about drivel of what's better, what's bad, kind of thing. Sombra.
Oh yeah, Sombra is like, huge. Sombra is
really popular.
I'm not used to thinking about Sombra being in the meta or being good, but yeah, she's amazing because of how much her ult gets. But double CPs are definitely her advantage.
Definitely.
Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
Woo! Thank you so much again, Michelle, for those emails. And if you want your questions answered on the show, again, thepayload@blizzpro.com. Let's go ahead and jump into Patreon world for a moment. Jimmy, what's going on there?
Well, first of all, we always have to thank our Grandmaster supporters, Shadow, J.A., Coral, Liam O., Stuart J., Liang Z., Jacob S., and Adam W. Thank you all for your awesome support. If you would like to show your support as well, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out what it's all about. All the rewards are there. And also find out a bit more about our game nights as well. $200 merch store is live. We've talked about this before, but if you want to get your very own payload shirt, store.blizzpro.com will get you there. Thanks to Relevant Sam and Scooby Z for being a part of the Patreon family.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you guys again. iTunes reviews, Rosh, what's going on there?
Yeah, we do have a couple this week. If you are looking to find a way to support your favorite podcast out there, The Payload, you can leave 5-star reviews for us. They're super, super easy, and we get to read your name each week on the show and try and pronounce it. Thank you so much to Guardian Fail and Invoke V2. And Invoke said, 10 out of 10, Rosh, best Sims 4 player. So I think that's probably my favorite review so far. So thank you so much for that. If you haven't done so yet, you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
By the way, Invoke, you haven't seen me play The Sims, but I'm pretty, pretty good. I actually bought it because it was on sale this last week. And so, yeah.
Can you actually be bad at The Sims?
I've seen some people make some really crappy house and be really bad at time management.
Okay. All right. True. Yeah. Very good point.
So just saying. Anyways, thank you so much for those iTunes reviews. Leave them on iTunes. They did make it kind of weird to where you can't check them on mobile, on podcasting,
on the new iOS.
On iOS 11, yeah. So I don't get to see those until like that day. We really appreciate those iTunes reviews. All right, shout outs for the week. Jimmy, you're up first. Shout outs, and where can people find you?
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate the support, and I love how the Discord server is growing. So thank you guys for contributing to that. It's been awesome.
You stole my shout out.
Oh. I'm sorry, Rosh.
That's okay.
Feel free to follow me, twitter.com/DJTyrant and twitch.tv/DJTyrant to see what I'm up to throughout the week. That's it. Thank you guys for joining the show.
Awesome. And Rosh, other shout outs for the week and where can people find you?
I'll say it for the people in the back. Thank you so much to everybody who's joined our Discord. It's been so amazing logging on every single day and just seeing like different kind of conversations starting between different people unrelated to the host. Because I know when we first created the Discord, I felt kind of obligated to kind of stay in the Discord and lead conversations to get people to know each other. And I feel like it has developed into just this community of people meeting and branching out to people on their own. And I love seeing it and I love watching it grow. And I'm super excited to hit 200 because that's just a cool milestone to say for Discord. And it's been really, really cool having a place to go to if I'm looking to do ranked with anyone or anything like that. So it's been really, really cool. If you have not joined it, make sure you check it out. We're super awesome in there. And sometimes we meme about how much I play The Sims 4.
I screenshot it every time I see it and post it in the memes channel.
You can find me at twitch.tv/ok it's Rosh, and Twitter at @f2k_ok it's Rosh.
Awesome. Well, as for me, again, thanks to everybody who came out for the patron game night. It was a blast. We're definitely going to do more, maybe even more than we initially planned because it was so much fun. Thank you for that. As for everything else, you can find me on Twitch @KickTripod, on Twitter @KickTripod, or on my blog, kicktripod.com. And of course, I'm always available in Discord. I try to be super available for like anyone who has podcasting questions, all that kind of stuff. I've spent quite a bit of time of, you know, answering those questions too. And love to hear your journeys getting into podcasting or streaming and all that kind of stuff. So come hang out by all means, please. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 72 of The Payload. You can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. The show records live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And of course, follow us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Thank you guys so much. Hope you enjoyed episode 72. We'll see you next week.